To me, the most beautiful thing you can do in life is realize that all these things go on in each other's hearts and they're nasty, and begin to go, but I do that too. We all need mercy. Celebrities need mercy. Normal people who aren't celebrities need mercy. If you just get to know them for a second, your heart and your mind will be filled with understanding. Even the things that you don't like about them, or you will, if you just talk to them for a second, you'll go, oh, I know, I get it now. Like I have mercy. I understand. I know where they came from.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Men of the Hour podcast, season 8. If you're not familiar with the show here, I built this thing back in 2020 when I knew that there was going to be some room in the podcasting world for deep conversations rooted in men's mental health, well-being, and everything in between. And since then, I've had 7 incredible seasons of the show that have honestly changed my life and hopefully abundantly helped yours. Now it's October 26, 2023. Which is almost exactly 3 years after we launched the show. And I'm so thankful to bring you new guests this entire season, of course. And today I bring you country music star Walker Hayes. He's not only got some incredible new music out and life updates for us, but I intentionally wanted Walker to be our first guest this season, as I've watched his career for a couple years now. We probably even have some of the same friends, and it's always impressed me how positive and uplifting and authentic he is in the life that he lives, something that I know we can learn a lot from today. And of course, in that, we'll dive into the art of being present, mental health, and of course, all of the things Walker has going on as a father and husband on top of his music. So Walker Hayes, thanks for being here and being the first guest of season 8. I told you would be, and I'm very excited you said yes to doing this. So welcome to Men of the Hour.
Justin, thanks for having me. Yeah, I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't like odd numbers. So I'm thrilled that we're kicking off number 8. So let's go, man.
So I said this a second ago, Walker. So before we get into country music, you have a new music album out, right? It's called New
Yeah.
Money. And I think the music in it is definitely, it's you. And when I say you, as someone who's watched you and listened to your music, and if you're listening right now and you've done the same, you can tell that Walker's always had this very like uplifting, positive, and almost optimistic way of looking at the world, and then doing that with your music and always having a good time while doing that. So before we get into the album, I mean, give us a take. So when you started your music career, for example, let alone your family that was going to go on the journey with you, like,
right,
was that going to be a part of your brand? Is this who you are? Where was that part of your life discovered?
Oh, shoot. I mean, that's a great question. And it's wild. No one has ever asked me, if they were going, if that was intended, and I'm not a very calculated person. I can't stand the where do you see yourself in 5 years question. I've always been like, man, what a dumb question to ask. Like, I don't know, anything in this life can happen today or tomorrow. But no, man, I mean, I'm definitely the type of person who's just, I believe that the statement, we ultimately do what we want in this life is true. And so things that I wanted to do, was be with my wife, Lainey, making music, and we wanted a large family. We never sat down and said, hey, let's have this number of kids. We just had one fairly early in the marriage, and it didn't really make sense, against my career. I don't think people from the outside looked and said, oh, that's responsible, have children as a aspiring singer songwriter, or a starving artist. But it happened. We found a way to provide for them, but barely at times. And in my personal opinion, it's only fitting that so late in my career, things popped off about 18 years in. And to me, it's such a perfect storm that my family was involved, because that was always a dilemma for me. Like, if it was just me dragging myself through this uncharted territory of this elusive, crazy dream, you know, that didn't really provide for a family. And you know, I was an alcoholic for a long time. And, you know, I was dragging my family through this mud with me. It wasn't just me walking through these battles. And so I feel like my family, they've kind of been what carried me and not the other way around. You know, if that makes any sense. So I enjoy that it's a family affair now. I wouldn't have it any other way. I don't enjoy doing this alone. I, Justin, I can honestly say I'm not sure I would do this on this level alone. You know, I would still write songs and stuff, but I don't think I would feel that husband, fatherly need to protect or provide for anything. You know, I'd be a great beach bum, you know, without them. But I have them and I love them. And so it only enhances the passion for what I already love. You know, when I write a song, it's not just for myself. It's for everybody. And we're a team, man. I mean, with the trick shots we do, with the dances we do, we travel as a team. When the bus leaves, we all get on the bus together. So as far as did I intend for that to happen? No, you know, when Leela and I did that fancy like dance, I did not know it was going to become a worldwide phenomenon and that eyes would be not only on me, but my entire family. I had no idea, but I appreciate the fact that it's not just on my shoulder. It's a team, it's a family effort. And the gratitude I feel, you know, when I'm standing on stage and my daughter's dancing with me and my other kids are side stage and my wife's right there. I mean, I can't explain how grateful I feel that I don't have to do this alone, you know, that I get to spend time with my children while continuing this big thing, you know, this big dream that has come true. If that makes any sense.
Of course it does. You know, he brought up Fancy Like. I'm going to go to a couple of the points that you've brought up here in just a moment, but you brought up Fancy Like, which, by the way, topped every country sales and streaming chart, hit top five on the Billboard Hot 100, and was also number one at country radio, right? Four times platinum with over 550 million worldwide streams, and was number one on the Billboard Hot Country Songs for over 6 months. So that gives you a take as to how fast things can happen. Number one, that's incredible. I just wanted to bring you back your numbers, right? To remind you how great your music is, of course. But then not to mention, I got these stats a little bit before we had started interviewing, and I was like, well, what point do I bring this up? Do I tell everybody at the top of the show what Walker's done, or do I weave it in? So I'm going to weave in one more thing. You've also been nominated for a Grammy Award, which is huge, 5 ACM Awards, a CMT Award, a CMA Award, and 6 Billboard Music Awards. That's essentially every single type of award that's at the top of music. Yet you haven't even hit the peak of your career yet. So even to think about what the journey could look like, you almost don't want to have this intention, right? Because then you wouldn't have received so many great already success stories. And so I guess in that, you brought up this idea that, like, without your family, you may not be working as hard for the most part. And do you think that has been a struggle for a lot of artists? I mean, you look at anybody today that's a musician or entertainer. You could be a dancer, juggler, you know, clown, whatever. You're an entertainer, and they always say that, like, it gets so lonely so fast. Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that once something like Fancy Like goes up and at it so quickly, you know, you almost need that stability and that foundation of people in your life, AKA your family, right? And then how you deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously my family carried me when nobody knew my name, you know, I mean, they were such a joy, to be with and have, and to, they nurtured me, you know, I mean, my kids, I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but you know, coming home to a blanket of kids and a loving wife and a home, especially amidst this industry that, again, you don't get to say, hey, move this pile of wood over here and get a paycheck. You know, it's like it was for 18 years. It was like, move this pile of wood over here, but don't see the pile you're making because you really don't know if you're ever going to get paid for that. You know, it's not an immediate, like, gratification business. And so you get lost sometimes in the depression of what am I doing? Does this even matter? You start counting your songs. How many songs have I written? And then now, you know, we popped off. I mean, overnight, nobody recognized us in Chick-fil-A, and now everybody does. And honestly, my family now, they keep me humble and grounded, because when you've been grinding and grinding and all of a sudden the world is hyping you and everybody loves you, just like you can fall sick with that depression that's a lie before, you know, that you don't matter or that you're not amounting, you can fall, you can kind of surrender to the hype and begin to believe it and go, dude, I am freaking awesome, you know. And then that begins to isolate you in your own little your bubble where you kind of do the whole push people away but you hate them for leaving thing. Mm-hmm. But my family doesn't go anywhere, and we're going through it together. I mean, we've had a lot of learning to do over the past 2 years, and you know, the fame and the fortune and the world just giving you everything you ever desired can really mess you up, you know, and go to your head and you begin, you know, it's tough. It's not as easy, I think, as people make it look, you know, on Instagram and stuff like that. I always see celebrities now in a different light. And I wonder to myself, what are they dealing with behind that picture, you know, or behind that award show, you know, they're at. And so, you know, my family, we've walked through those battles together, and I think we're settling now. And we're kind of used to, the fame, I guess, if that makes any sense. Like, but for a while there, it was new, it was shiny, and, you know, it felt good, but it was gross too, if that makes sense. You know, you kind of step back and you're like, hold up, I need some humility here. Like, this is, I'm not the king of the world here. Like, we've had some favor. We, you know, I wrote a song about Applebee's, bro. It's, you know what I mean? It's not like I reinvented the wheel here. You know, we connected with the Grand Slam song, and that's good. You know, God used my gifts and my talents to make people smile, and that's incredible. And, you know, he's shining through me. You know, this isn't me on some mountain, you know, flexing and dabbing and, you know, but there's a temptation to do that. And again, my whole family, there's been a learning curve to this whole celebrity thing. If that makes any sense. I'm not sure I answered your question perfectly.
You're not supposed to. It's a podcast, right? No, yeah, I love what you've said. And if you're, it's funny because we take listeners on this journey, right? When you're having these conversations that are thoughtful, and sometimes you do lose track, but that's my job to keep us on track right now. That was good. Very beautifully said. I like what you say here about, you know, when you see other celebrities, and it could be anybody, right? Said influencer on TikTok, Kim Kardashian, and you know, whatever, like, you know, Blake Shelton, whatever. So, you know, there's something interesting here where, like, as you wonder what other celebrities are going through, I have to ask the question now of, like, what exactly was going through your head when you took off so quickly? You know, when I say head, I'm just talking like, you know, you do have to, like, ride a certain wave, and you have to set up to so many expectations of your, you know, your country music team, your family, your fans, right? And then anyone in between that sees you at Chick-fil-A that may just know your face. And so in that, looking back and then coming back to, like, right now on October 26th, you know what I'm thinking? Like, how did that sit with you? Like, in your head, when mentally you're like, well, I like where this is, you know, I like where this is going, yet I know that I've seen celebrities completely crash and burn. So, like, where were you level setting back then? And then how are you now?
Yeah. You know, I think for me personally, look, I'm just gonna be really vulnerable here. You know, the world essentially changed their mind. That's kind of how it felt for me and my family. You know, Lainey and I, 5 years ago, we lost our seventh child. I'm an 8-year sober alcoholic. I'm a 3-year-old new believer in Jesus. We have never made a drop of sense in our entire life. We have completely alienated ourselves, and I take full responsibility. I am a not follow the herd person. So if someone is disinterested or doesn't approve of what me and my family are doing, I'm the way I cope with that is say, I don't need you. I'm out. And so essentially, you know, when I'm a dad of six working at Costco, drinking every day, there's really nobody around us who's like, I approve of this message right here. You know, I think this guy should continue writing songs. You know, we just didn't have a support system anywhere. You know, and sadly, our families, you know, were giving us looks like, what are y'all doing? You know, I mean, the rest of my family is, they're very capable people. My siblings, my in-laws, was a dentist, my father-in-law, you know, so nobody really could look at us and go, I understand this singer, songwriter, weirdo guy who keeps having kids and his wife, who's just happy all the time. You know, I mean, that no one really got us. And so we were on this little island, you know, and then, all of a sudden I just, again, this song falls from literally the heavens 2 months after my dad dies, who was my biggest fan in life, like literally the one human who would talk to me on the phone like we weren't crazy, and just be proud of me for pursuing this nutsola dream. This song falls out that, you know, honestly, for the first time in a while, I listened to it and I just thought, I just love it. I could care less what the town thinks, what genre it fits in. Is the bass too loud? No, it can't be loud enough in my mind, you know? And you know, you get some crazy looks. And then Justin, I'm telling you, man, the day after that song popped, the whole world clapped. And you can imagine the whiplash, you know, that a family would feel when, you know, my kids are watching their dad try and fail, just swing and miss, just rejection left and right. And a wife, you know, that's watched her husband for 18 years go up against this town and continue to do it. And again, I did it happily. There was rarely a moment that I ever thought, I'm going to give up. I don't know why. I think that's just, I think artists and people like you and me, we're just kind of crazy. Like, there's something we want to do and we're going to commit to it. But the moment that song blows up, all of a sudden the opinion shift, and it's really hard to embrace that applause and that validation and that affirmation when you're so close to the rejection, thinking, wait a second, you guys like me now? Like, you know, all of a sudden you're proud of me. Like, I needed your hand on my shoulder a year ago. You know, I needed you 5 years ago. I needed you 10 years ago when we, you know, when we didn't have any money. All of a sudden, Justin, you know, companies sending me free stuff, you know, and you go, I mean, I can buy it now. I needed this free stuff 15. So anyway, I know this sounds silly, but I've always been, I think it's why I love songwriting, is I've always been kind of a like reflective out of the body person, and I can insert my life, you know, or my heart, head and heart into other people's scenarios. And I love to do that. And, you know, that's kind of where my attitude was watching it from the outside, really just going, man, you know, what all these people are doing to me, man, I do that to people too. I do that to celebrities too. You know, I look at a celebrity, and like I said earlier, all I see is them performing on the camera. I don't know why they're performing. I don't know if they could possibly be coping with some insecurity. You know, they're looking for validation, so they do a TV show, you know, and then I judge them. I'm like, this show sucks, or I wouldn't do it this way, or you're an idiot. And I begin to dehumanize them with my positive reactions or my negative. I just go, yay you, or boo you. You know, it's kind of how we watch a football game. Like, we forget their kids, and we're like, You idiot. God, my 3-year-old could have thrown a ball better than you. But then they score a touchdown and you go, good job, bro. There you go. You did it right. And it's this very like poisonous relationship. We would be terrible parents to these players, you know. But anyway, I guess what I'm saying is just the whole, you know, from the outside looking in, this whole explosion for me was very interesting to learn from. I learned a lot about myself. And, you know, how I treat other celebrities and artists. And then I learned a lot about humanity, you know, just again, from myself, just, you know, now when I applaud someone on their own song, who's an artist friend, I wonder in my brain, did I pay as much attention to that guy 2 weeks ago as I do now? Cause he's succeeding. Like, am I kind of manipulatively using our friendship now, like, hey buddy, remember me? Like, I love your song. Maybe we could collab now. You know what I mean? And there's those icky things that I've become aware of. But man, to me, the most beautiful thing you can do in life is realize that all these things go on in each other's hearts and they're nasty and begin to go, but I do that too. We all need mercy, you know. Celebrities need mercy. Normal people who aren't celebrities need mercy. Dads need mercy. Wives need mercy. Kids need mercy. I mean, they need the most mercy. They've been on this earth the least amount of time, you know. But it's been a very, very, you know, again, Justin, I'll also say, you know, now that my audience has been broadened and people have seen me since really recently, you know, basically Fancy Like What popped off 2.5, 3 years ago, something like that. You know, they know me. I'm 3 years old in their hearts and in their minds. There is a lot of nasty, you know, that we went through that happened before then, you know, and I firmly believe just people in general, if you just get to know them for a second, your heart and your mind will be filled with understanding, even the things that you don't like about them, or, you know, if you just talk to them for a second, you'll go, oh, I know, I get it now. Like I have mercy. I understand. I know where they came from. I know what that family's been through, but it has been a roller coaster, you know, that my family has gone through. And again, I'll go back to what we were talking about earlier, us, it all being thrown to us as a family unit has been the healthiest way I think I could have ever proceeded. I think if it was just me by myself, I would go off the rails. I think it was just my daughter. I have no idea how we would navigate that, you know? And so I'm just really grateful that we come as a pack. You know, and that's such a blessing for me.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing, man. I think that, like, at the core of it, you know, life will happen really quickly. And from what you just said, it's like you have to keep in mind at all times what your life was then and now, which is exactly why I posed that question, you know. And then you talk about it's only been what, so many years, and it's so interesting you say, like, I'm pretty much 3 years old to these people, right? And so, like, your relationship with, let's just say, the public, right? Not just your fans. Let's say your relationship with the public could have been toxic, because it sounded like there was a little bit of resentment there for people who didn't even try to support you 15 years ago, 1 year ago, like, you know, 1 year before Fancy Like, rather. And I'm sure everyone struggles with that, because what you're saying is so true. It's that, like, listen, all of us want something, especially people in the entertainment business. We tend to be a lot crazier with our thoughts and how we want to pursue projects and our career. Therefore, there's, like, sometimes it's a no holds barred match against ourselves.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, and again, I think I started this statement, but didn't really finish it, man. Life is just, it's hard. You know, Lainey and I we've been very near death. Not us dying. Lainey, when we lost our seventh child, she did lose. She came near to death. But what I was trying to say is, we understand the brevity of life, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I think we possibly can at this place in our life, we just know that it ends. And the fact that I know that it ends, and that it ends very spontaneously and randomly, it makes it more beautiful, you know, to me. And it also makes these things of the world, the goodness and the bad, you know, it makes it all kind of more precious to me, but at the same time, a lot lighter, if that makes any sense. You know, I don't wake up worried whether I'm ever going to duplicate fancy. Like, you know, you talked about being in the moment. The stuff that Lainey and I have been through allows me to dive into Demon Slayer with my son, because I know that that is right. More valuable. That time with my son, Chapel, is one of the most valuable things I can do with my minutes on this earth. You know, my son Chapel just got into working out, and look, I could care less whether he works out or not. What I love is that he goes to the gym with me every day, and we go to the same gas station every day, and we get cheddar cheese popcorn and a Core Power chocolate milk, and we sit on the side of this building with my 16-year-old. And I'm telling you, man, we sit there and we talk about the funniest stuff for 15, 20 minutes a day. And he talks and I listen and I chime in. But really in my brain, I'm just thinking, God, how do I get to do, why, you know, I didn't get to do that with my dad. I go, why do I get to have this relationship with my teenage son? I want every man with a teenage son to talk to their teenage son for 15 minutes a day and just listen to the stupid, smart, everything stuff that's going through this amazing kid's brain, you know. And I'm just sitting there pouring out gratitude to God that I get that precious moment. And I would not value that moment if we hadn't been through everything we already have, the worst of it and the best of it. So yeah, we're very, my wife is the same way, man. The other day she calls me and it's like Tuesday and she's just at a playground, you know, she's just at a playground videoing the kids play on the playground, you know, and I just gratitude in my brain going, you know, as a woman, I think I would find this tendency to have my kids in matching clothes and to look a certain way and to say certain things and to be certain people and to, you know, finish your homeschool on time and to, you know, add up to these things because they're my little ornaments on the tree of me. But my wife, she's always been very, very, she's reminded me, you know, my entire life, it's okay to just sit on the playground and watch your kids, because this is what matters. You know, what you're instilling in them by being with them could quite possibly be even more powerful than you bringing home a paycheck and paying for their clothes, or you being famous and them seeing a famous dad. You know, like there's a lot of lessons I think we've learned in the things that we've lost and the struggles that we've been through that allow us to kind of look at life through a different lens and say, hey, this is going to be over. This is going to be gone. You've got this second right now with your son. Cancel that Zoom. Don't go write a song today. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense, Justin?
I mean, it makes all the sense, especially if you're listening to the relatability here is like, so yeah, it's you. You know what I mean? I was like, I told Walker before we record, I was like, hey, before we record, I just really want you to know that, like, I chose you to be the first guest on this podcast, coming back into season 8, just simply because I think that you have, there was more there, and like, you're opening up so many valves here that, like, I know a lot of us can relate to and need to hear. That's what I wanted to get to. Like, we need to hear this from someone like you, because if it's coming from Walker Hayes, right? Like, it's bound to be the same situation for a lot of us, not the same necessarily, mm-hmm. technically speaking, but like, it is the same emotional feeling that we get. It is the same trauma that we experience, right? From having lost a father or a seventh child or a child at all, right? But then having this like expectation to yourself and being able to share that with your family that like, hey, we're good. Life's good. Like we're going to be okay because before this, we didn't have any of this, right? And then fame and fortune aside, it's like, well, you are living this like purely normal life that you get to live, right? And like that's very special because a lot of times we don't necessarily see that with celebrities and we don't see that with pop stars and country artists. And you know, that relatability is never there until you guys open up about it, which even when certain folks have opened up about it in the media, it doesn't really feel that way. But to you, that's exactly what we're feeling here. And it's like very special.
Well, I mean, that's on behalf of all anybody. Look, I don't, you know, people, you even said the words country star, and I always just a little bit cringe because again, man, it is there. I mean, celebrity, you know, to me, the whole famous world, just the world in general, like it or not, I mean, it's a lot like just a grandiose version of high school. You know, we're you know, you get comfortable in little bubbles, you kind of want to stick out, you kind of want to fit in. And, you know, what we're all willing to do to feel special is different, you know, and we all find ways to feel that. And then sadly, you know, like you said, a lot of celebrities, they're living a life that you can't relate to. Well, they are. They're just covering it all up, you know, with the celebrity stuff, you know, and I think a lot of times celebrities become characters, you know, where they're performing more and more and more until 99% of their life they're performing. And then that 1% they're not. And then sadly, they may lose a lot of things that matter to them in a relationship. They may just destroy a lot of relationships that are important to them. But speaking of relationships, I mean, that's just why we're all here, bro. I mean, it's amazing if you just step back and you look at who God gives you to bump into every single day, and you can either be on your way, you can hustle through and go, I need to get this song written. I need to get this success. I need more money. I need more fame. I need to grow my platform or whatever. Or you can stop and you can look left and go, oh, there's my son. I have a second to talk to him. Oh, there's my manager. I can ask him about something other than work, you know, or here's Justin, you know, on this podcast. I can either promote myself and try to sound real smart and awesome and together and like follow my routine every day and you'll be a dad like me. Or I can just tell you that, Justin, I don't have anything figured out. I'm just struggling through it. And, you know, if anybody wants to struggle through it with me, let's do it, you know. And I'd much rather do that because life's way more beautiful and rewarding when we just put our stuff on the table and just go, hey, you know, especially fame. You know, I love meeting an artist where I can just go, fame's pretty weird, right? And they go, yeah, dude, it is. You know, and we can just dive into that. You know, my family loves the road. My family doesn't. You know, what do you do when you're out there by yourself? Oh man, I need help. You know, I need a phone call every night. You know, it's to me, those breakthroughs again, where it allows me more mercy from someone and me to give mercy to someone. It's an awesome transaction, if you will. It's not even really a transaction. There's nothing purchased or sold. It's just to me, it's just that natural relationship God's provided that again, we get to have. You know, you just never know who you're going to bump into in this world, and what they have to offer and what you have to receive. If you'll just shut up about yourself for a second and just listen, you know, just again, like you tell me you're half Japanese, dude, I could go for that. Like, let's go a freaking week talking about that. Like, I've never been, you know, I've been in the Southeast my entire life. I couldn't be further from Japan. You know, I don't know.
You're and, right.
there's a lot of history there too. You know, that what an amazing, like, you should do your own self one day, you know, I mean, the whole Japanese American thing, Look, all I know is Pearl Harbor, which is not a great thing to know. Like, there's a lot more to know. And I'm pretty sure most people are like me. You know, they're just idiots wanting to know more, if that makes any sense, you know?
Right. It's like the art of staying curious. I hear you loud and clear. Listen, I think...
Curious, yes. You curious. Know, that, yeah. That's it.
Well, they always say back... when I say they, I'm not even sure who they are, but it's like, you know, be more interested than interesting, especially as you become climbing up your own, essentially your own social ladder, right? When you're a celebrity or, you know, you're a very popular artist, right? We'll take the word star out of there, even though I'm sure you'll end up on Dancing with the Stars shows sooner or later. It's like, you know, but you imagine that that's kind of what everybody wants to feel, right? It's like that connection with folks. And that's like
right.
the power of this podcast, even for a long time, was just that. I think that there's so many angles to podcasting, and it's like, it's funny. You are, I mean, guessed what, 118 maybe. And like you podcast with someone and you know that like damn right, anybody who's listening is getting like notes taken and super, like they're just getting your vulnerable thoughts. And I've not yet seen you on a podcast talk like this. So I was doing some research even, and I was like, all right, let's see. Let's not even let's see, but I just had a feeling. I was like, Walker has a very good personality, and I'm sure he has, you know, a lot of excitement about this release date of September 29th with the new, you know, album, New Money, with the singles Good With Me. And we can talk about, you know, Fancy Like, and we can talk about all these great things. AA was also a big hit. And, you know, we'll make sure everything's linked below for people to click around with too, including that book you wrote, which was great back in 2022 with your best friend, Craig Allen Cooper. So we'll make sure that that's linked below too. But the purpose of this podcast essentially was these last four sound bites that you just gave us, which is like something to walk away with to help us better understand how we can, you know, thoughtfully live these lives, right? There are women listening to this show, right? There are teenagers that have listened to this show. There are people in Japan, not just my mom, right? Listening to this podcast. And like the beauty in it is any man that can open up about these topics that you've mentioned, right? You were an alcoholic at one point and you got through that. And then you've lost a child and your dad. And these are things that people go through every single day, you know, and sometimes just the relatability and the connection to someone like you is what gets them through. So that said, when was the last time you feel like you had that connection to someone? So you, I feel like, as the one, especially like as a premier guest on a podcast, right? Here you go. You got this.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it. But like you feeling that with someone that's not your family, when was that last time?
Oh, man.
That authentic connection where you just feel like, oh my gosh, life is so much worth living because I connected with that person. I feel human with that connection I had.
Dude, it happened for me very recently. And you, dude, honestly, you mentioned the song You Girl. And the song You Girl, the track came from a guy named Dylan Guthrow. And look, a lot of times, all these things I'm preaching, I'm bad at. And I repeat myself because I need to hear some of these reminders, you know, that I share. And one is, you know, I can really squander some precious minutes of my life focusing on these songs, which to me, the songs I write are, I'm just a kid drawing a picture, wanting the world to put it on the refrigerator. That's exactly what I do every day. And I seek more and more false identity from what I can create. And that's my problem. You know, that's my thorn, if you will, or curse or cross or whatever you want to call it. But there's something in me that wants to write a song and I want people to say it's amazing. And as soon as they say it's amazing, I'm empty again. And I go, dang, I need to write another one, you know, and that it's okay. That's just, it's like sport, you know, or playing golf or whatever, you know, that's just my thing. And I can definitely get to where I've got blinders on. I'm not looking at anybody left and right. Mm. I just want to get to the thing and work and get that applause and show everybody how amazing I am. Like you said, I'm not being interested. I just want to be interesting to everybody, you know? Mm. And I was having a day like this, okay? And, you know, I was just off to the races to work. And I get in the room with my man, Dylan. And Dylan's dad recently passed. Super sad for this guy. He's quite a bit younger than me, probably 10 years younger than me. So he's walking through something that I didn't have to walk through till later in life. And me and Dylan go back a couple years. And look, we just wrote a song about losing our father. You know, I kind of went there with him, and you know, he kind of dove into some of that raw emotion he was feeling. I mean, he literally buried his father like a week preceding this write together. It was the first song he'd written since he lost his dad. And we wrote this song. That's an incredible moment. It's about when my dad passed, we buried him. And then after all the festivity, you know, after all the funeral and the business of that was taken care of, I was about to leave, and my mom walked me to my dad's closet. And she said, "You can have, if you want anything from this closet, you can have it." And, you know, all I saw, I mean, I remember some shirts or whatever. I just remember being really emotional, you know, when you open that closet and you see the clothes of Superman, basically. And I remember looking at his boots, and I was just like, this hurts. This is terrible, you know. And I didn't really take anything. I think at that point, it was so raw at that moment that I was like guilty. I was like, man, I can't take his belt, you know, I can't take his clothes. Those are dad's clothes, you know, but dad's gone, and I'm learning about that. Well, we wrote this song together, and it's basically like, you know, the hook is, I felt 6 feet small because all I saw were the boots that I can't fill. And we wrote this song. It'll never be a hit. It'll never be on someone's album. I don't know. Maybe it will. Who cares? Because we didn't know this, but later that night, Dylan's mom had no idea we had written that song that day. And she walked him to his father's closet that night and said, "If you want anything, take it." And he shot me a text that night about 2 a.m. and told me that that happened. And man, I just sat. I feel like I was driving somewhere, and maybe I was stopped for gas or something, but that was a reminder to me that there's just a lot going on we can't see, you know. And you know, when you're sitting at a red light, maybe you're headed somewhere to work or whatever, but there's probably somebody at that red light whose whole world just stopped today. You know, they either just buried somebody, or they're losing somebody, or they're losing a job, or they're getting a job, or whatever. You know, we're just all going through something that you can't see, and you might miss if you're too busy, again, trying to be interesting. And that, I'll tell you what, man, I've got some of the most random friends in this life that I have made that will literally be ride or die friends. And the only reason we're friends is because we went through the same car wreck, or we lost the same age daughter, or we lost the same dad, you know. And it's those things that unify us and create relationships that will last longer than just the friends that we celebrate triumphs with or trophies with, you know what I mean? I have a friend, you know, me and Dylan, because we went through that process and we experienced that God moment together in the shadow of loss, just in the shadow of heartbreak, we will be better friends than me and anybody on my ninth grade championship basketball team. You know what I mean? And it's just interesting to me how that connection is made. And it's usually because you both were in the same trench, you know, the bomb, y'all both felt the shrapnel of the same hurt and the same loss. And you may have shared a similar difficulty in kind of sifting through the rubble, you know. I just because I'm a communicator and a songwriter doesn't mean I'm a therapist. You know, I don't
That's
know
right.
how to navigate. I didn't know how to lose a dad, but now I know better because somebody else lost a dad and we talked about it, you know. But that was a, again, it, despite, regardless, it wasn't a great happy circumstance, but there's more beauty in that connection, you know, that you asked about, you know, have you had a connection? And to me, that's beautiful. That is a, that's one of the beautiful, most beautiful things you can do on this earth, it is share some hurt and create a bond with someone this side of heaven, you know, for a moment, and just be grateful. You know, I don't like meeting people who have, I don't like that I've lost a kid. And if you've lost a kid, I don't want you to have lost a kid. But when I meet you, I'm so glad to meet someone else who's lost a kid. Mm. And that is amazing. It's like divine. It's just, it's so insane. We, what, where would we be without those other people who can get up every day and smile again in the sunshine and say, yeah, life can feel like death sometimes, but I'm here, bro hug. Let's go. Let's work out.
Man, I knew we had a lot to learn from. This is definitely a very special interview compared to a lot of the ones I've done in the past, you know, 5 or 6 years now. Walker, we have so many minutes left with you. We should have taken the Joe Rogan route and just went for 2 hours. Come on, you're man. Busy.
You're Listen. Good. You're good.
We'll go into a part two. I'll promise you that much.
Let's do it. Let's
and
do
I
it.
Really, really value everything you're saying. And anybody who's listening, I'm sure you feel the same exact way. But as we come to a moderately graceful close of such an incredible conversation, to be honest with you, you got to tell us a little bit about where the art of you looking forward to things sits right now. So I know there's a lot of things you've done. I know that there's a lot of good music out, and I know that there's a great book linked below, but what else are you looking forward to as we inch towards the holidays right now? And then of course into the new year.
Well, I mean, man, at my core, I'm just a big goofball, and you know, fancy like has been so, what a miraculous moment for me and my co-writers on that song. But my label has been begging for a Fancy Like Christmas. And it's funny, man, like a week ago, I didn't even know this was happening. Literally like last Tuesday, I didn't know this was even a thing. And then my manager was like, you know, if you want to do a Christmas song, they'll take Fancy Like Christmas. And so, man, we wrote Fancy Like Christmas. So it's basically the same song, but with bells on the track and, you know, new lyrics that are Christmas related. And I'm telling you, they're hilarious. They make me laugh. And, you know, obviously I hope it's a standard, but man, honestly, it as silly as that sounds, that has been just a huge blessing, just something to dive into. And oddly enough, you know, that's immediate gratification. It's like, hey, write a Christmas song this week. We're putting it out next week, which never happens. And so it was great to reunite with the Fancy Light writers, reflect. As a matter of fact, the day we wrote the Christmas song lyrics, the staff at Smack, where I write songs, they decorated the whole place with Christmas stuff. Like, it was amazing walking in. It was like Santa's workshop. And then, and they gave us the news that day. To me, this was great. This is such a wild coincidence, but that day, Fancy Like went 6 times platinum. And look, I promise y'all, I'm not an analytic numbers guy. As a matter of fact, when you were reading my awards nominations and stuff, I was like, man, that's a lot. Like, I was like, that's crazy. I don't know. But
that's why it's written down.
I try not to pay attention to those things because, I don't know, they just get all up in my head and they matter more than they probably should if I think about them too much. But that was cool, man. Sitting in the writer's room, just having fun, thinking about Christmas, and then, and with all the decorations, and then my manager was like, "Dude, guess what? We just we just found out that the original version went 6 times platinum. But dude, that's coming out, and my, you know, my whole family, they're so sweet. I mean, we got the final version, and everybody got my Prius last night, and we cranked it up and blew the speakers out, and that's fun. But yeah, man, gearing up for next year's tour season. You know, eventually, Justin, I think, like, you know, and this is a blessing I can even say this, and it's because of a lot of things. It's because of the success in the material world, you know, God has allowed me. But I think I'd like to just be a normal human, you know, I think at some point I would just like to kind of disappear, like still write songs, you know, but I think the fame, you know, the fame side of things. And I'm just thinking, you know, again, what's funny is I'm answering the, where would you like to see yourself in 5 years?
I knew you were going to say that. It's funny, 'cause I was like, I shouldn't be asking you that. And I'm probably sure, yeah, 'cause that's your least favorite question, but you're answering it. And I was going to ask you your least favorite question.
Yeah, no, I, again, you know, I love things like high school football, you know, and just, and the Applebee's song is so fitting for me because that's just where we live, man. We're just strip mall people. Like we were, you know, we were at Five Below last night, just having some fun. And, you know, a lot of people look at me and they're like, that's crazy that you do that and you're famous. And I'm like, man, I don't know how else to be, you know, I don't know what, I don't know what else, I don't know what famous people are supposed to do, you know? And so, yeah, if you're like, hey, what's your dream job? I would love to be like a high school basketball coach and just kind of settle, you know, this life that Lanny have had and I have had, it's been very adventurous. It's been a grind. I've traveled everywhere. If I never get on a plane tomorrow, I think I'll be okay. You know, I have traveled that much, and, you know, maybe being still for a few months and then I'd be like, hey, I want to get back to that famous thing. I don't know, but we're at a point now where I'm really grateful for what God's given me career wise. I hope I'm stewarding it right. And I hope I'm being a good dad, being a good husband, and I'm grateful for a family that gives me a lot of forgiveness, man. And just, yeah. But the man, Face Like Christmas, crank it up. It is just, it's literally happiness wall to wall. It's like 2 minutes and 50 seconds of just funny.
Great. I'm really looking forward to it. And I know that everybody's tuning in right now. I mean, you fired us up. It's interesting how you can go from like such a vulnerable, deep thought into like, by the way, watch, you know, you know, when that comes out, you got to listen to Fancy Like Christmas. A lot of great things here too. And again, just for the sake of everything that you're up to and announcing and looking forward to, the fact that you can even vision yourself doing this high school basketball coach, right? Like that is also part of life, right? Like life is a very long journey and you don't always have to stick with the one thing. And that's a very valuable lesson that we could take away from this conversation with you, you know? And
dude, absolutely. Let people know that. I mean, who said I'm dealing with that with my kids, man? Who said you got to turn 18 and do something for 50 years and retire and die? No, no, sir. You know, I think God gives you inspiration for a reason. And it's good.
It is good. Well, listen, thanks again for saying yes to being the first guest of the podcast. Dude, on this season. You make anytime. It very worthwhile doing. And, we're definitely looking forward to everything that's coming with you. I'm sure you've heard that 10 million times by people that have interviewed you. But I wholeheartedly mean it. I think that there's something special about everything you said today. So thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for trusting me with the conversation, more importantly. And I'm excited. And like to your point about the fast turnaround with Fancy Like Christmas, this will be out the day that people are listening to it. You guys should know I talked to Walker the day before. So
let's go.
Very grateful for you, my friend. And I'm looking forward to coming up with you.
Well, good times, man. Well, if I'm serious, if I ever go to Japan, I'm hitting you up. I need the top 10 to do's and to don'ts. I need to know those too. So, but man, I've enjoyed this too. Thanks for opening my heart and letting me speak. And yeah, anytime, part two, you let me know.
Hey friends, Justin again. Well, that was the conversation today, and I hope you took plenty away from it. For those who keep coming back to this podcast, I want to say thank you for always being here and growing with my guests and I over the years. And if you're new to the Men of the Hour show, thank you for being here, and I'd love for you to come back next time by clicking that subscribe button. Oh, and for all of us tuning in right now, I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode by leaving a rating and review right where you're listening. Until next week, I'm your host, Justin Crawford. Continue taking care of yourself and inspiring others to do the same.